Iris Tilford held tight to the exercycle hand grips, pumped the pedals. She was the last one working out tonight in the mission gym. A cool April breeze eddied through open windows in the ramshackle building. Red, green, and purple flashed in her eyes from the pulsating neon sign above the bar across the street. She tried to block out thrumming guitars and a nasal twang singing of love gone wrong. Iris didn't like country music, but she'd closed down a lot of bars. Her throat felt suddenly parched. A beer. No, never. One day at a time. That's what she had to hold to. One day at a time. She pushed away memories of stuporous nights and drug-induced fantasies. One day at a time. She pumped harder. That's what Kirk told her. When the demons come, push and pound and sweat. You've got 73 days. Keep it up. One day at a time. The gym in its former life had been Murray's Garage, with an oil-stained floor, thin wooden walls, and a tin roof. Now the building housed partitioned sleeping areas for men and women, a kitchen and dining area, and a ragtag collection of exercise equipment. Iris wished the mission wasn't across from the bar and the neon flashes that pulled at her, but space was cheap in this seedy Savannah neighborhood, where bar signs flickered and music wailed or thumped all through the night. "Good going, Iris." Kirk's voice was surprisingly soft for such a big man. "Brought you some Gatorade." Kirk's face had the texture of beaten silver, but his brown eyes, eyes that had seen too much, were kind. Iris felt a moment's pride. Beaten silver. She remembered that from an art class she'd taken. She drooped inside. She didn't know when or where she'd been in an art class. There were so many things she didn't remember. He held out a plastic cup in his left hand. His right arm was a stub that poked from a floppy t-shirt sleeve. Iris realized she was breathing in short, quick gasps. She felt dizzy. Time to stop. But when she stopped, she felt the pull of the neon. She took the cup, drank greedily. "You're doing great." His deep voice reminded her of a bear's growl, a sunny Disney bear, not a fearsome North Woods bear. She stared at him, mournful and frightened. "I got to make it better."
"Can't remake the world in a hurry."
He spoke slowly, as if there were hours and days and years enough for everything.
"One day at a time."
She finished the sweet orange drink, handed him the cup.
"I'll ride a little longer. That helps."
Iris wiped sweat from her face, pushed back a tendril of damp hair, bent again to the handlebars. As the pedals whirred, she made her decision. Part of getting well was making things right. She couldn't change what had happened at the picnic, but she could go back to the island. Nana was dead. No one there cared about her. That made it easier to return. She couldn't have endured seeing Nana's face lined with grief. She'd broken Nana's heart. At the time, the decision had seemed simple. Leave the island. Leave behind her questions and fears and doubts. Instead, she'd carried misery with her, a burden that grew heavier with the passage of time. Iris's memory was spotty. For years, she'd blocked away a picture of that night, Jocelyn hurrying into the fog, a figure slipping after her. Maybe she'd dreamed that moment. There'd been so many dreams. Jocelyn's death might have had nothing to do with Iris. Iris wished she could remember the timing. Once she saw one person walk into the fog with Jocelyn, another time she remembered a different person. Which person came last? And why? This was the terrible, aching, inescapable question. Why hadn't anyone admitted going into the woods with Jocelyn? Iris wouldn't know until she asked. If her fears were the products of dreams, she would finally rid herself of the deep, dark emptiness that accused her. If she didn't go to the island and discover the truth, she would succumb to the insatiable lust for oblivion. She had to be brave. One day at a time.